There is a word from the Lord on today, and it shall come forth from the 22nd chapter of the book of Numbers. Numbers, the 22nd chapter. For you Bible scholars, it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the fourth book in the Bible. And we will read in your hearing for brevity, verse 31. But of course, we will cover and span this 22nd chapter, work throughout this chapter as we teach and preach the word of God here today. Praise God. Numbers, the 22nd chapter, and I'm going to read verse 31. According to the New American Standard Version. And it reads as follows. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed all the way to the ground. Verse 32, and the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out as an adversary because your way was contrary to me. Verse 33, but the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, I would surely have killed you just now and let her live. If it be the Lord's will, we want to speak for just a moment from this theme and thesis entitled, Seeing is a Matter of Life and Death. Praises be to God. Seeing is a matter of life and death as we focus on part two of this series here today. Many of you know the story of Balaam, and some do not. So for the benefit of those who do as well as those who do not, we will seek to capture the fullness of this particular story. Praise God. In addition to the verses that I've just read, I'm going to read as well verses 1 through 7 so that we can capture the foundational aspects of why Balaam was where he was in the first place and why the angel of the Lord was coming out against him. The scripture says in verse 1 of chapter 22, it says, then the sons of Israel journeyed and camped in the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan opposite Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. So Moab was in great fear because of the people, for they were numerous, and Moab was in dread of the sons of Israel. And Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this horde will lick up all that is around us, as the ox licks up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of Moab at the time. So he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river, in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, behold, a people came out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the surface of the land, and they are living opposite me. Now, therefore, please come, curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I may be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the fees for divination in their hand, and they came to Balaam and repeated Balak's words to him. So we get a chance to capture the essence of why the angel of the Lord had come out against Balaam. Now, Balaam was indeed a prophet of God. But this pagan king called Balak wanted to hire him to come out and curse the people of God. And he wanted him to come out and curse the people of God because he was afraid of God's people. Let me put a pin where I'm going. Many times Christians are fearful of people, places, and things around them, when what they really don't understand is that because of Christ in their life, the people are afraid of them. Praise God. And the people carry out acts and try to do things to them to make them fearful in order to get rid of their own fear. I would suggest to you right now that the nations around Israel are not just seeking to terrorize Israel for the sake of terrorizing them. They're seeking to terrorize Israel because they're in terror of what Israel might do to them, because they are the people of God. And just as it is with the Jewish people in the natural, so it is with those who are Jews in the spiritual. And every blood-bought, born-again, baptized believer who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and knows him in the pardon of their sins is indeed a Jew before the Lord God Most High. And a Jew indeed. Because we are the people of God spiritually. And I want you to know that the world is afraid of us. And we have no need to be afraid of them. Good God Almighty. Yeah, the world is afraid of us. I've watched our modern and recent times to where all kinds of laws and legislation, the enemy has tried to use different factions and groups to oppress Christians. Well, why are they trying to oppress Christians? They're not trying to oppress these other religions or these religions. They're trying to oppress the people of God. And the reason why they're trying to oppress the people of God is because they are afraid of the people of God, and the only way and the only recourse that they feel like they have is to get the people of God to be afraid of them, so they no longer have to be afraid of the people of God. Because as children of God, we are indeed blessed of God. And as a result of being blessed in God, we're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field, we bless when we go, and we bless when we come. Amen. We're just simply blessed. God has caused us to be above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower. And when we walk in the promises of God, according to the word of God and the will of God by the Spirit of God, folk have a reason to be afraid. Have a reason to be afraid. Because the favor of God is upon our lives, and those who oppose us indeed will suffer defeat. Indeed will suffer defeat. Praises be to the Lord. So I just want to encourage the Christian today to walk upright. Amen. Walk upright in the things of God and know, praise God, that the victory is already yours no matter what you face, no matter what you endure. Praises be to God. So anyway, he sought to pull the pin here. He sought to hire Balaam. Now, how do we know that Balaam was what I said? How do we know that indeed he was a man of God. Let me just give you a peek and show you what Balaam's response was. He sent out this faction to bribe Balaam, to pay Balaam, if you will, to proposition the prophet. Oh, if I had some time. If I had some time. Oh, bless God today. See, any time the enemy tries to proposition the prophet or the people of God in a general context, it's a direct result of the fact that the enemy is frightened, and that's why the proposition is being made. That's why the bribe is being presented. Because the enemy knows that apart from getting the people of God or a person of God to operate apart from God or in disobedience to God, that the enemy will suffer defeat. Let me say that again. Let me say it a little differently. If the average Christian knew that because of the power of God in our lives through our personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the enemy knows that the only way that they can try to bring defeat in our life, that he can bring defeat in our, I'm talking about Satan now, that he can bring defeat in our lives is to get us to sin. No, you better hear me now. To disobey God, to go against God, because he knows as long as we are walking with God, the power of God is at work in our lives. Huh? That same thing he pulled with Adam and Eve in the garden. He knew he could not curse them. He had no power to curse them, but he got them to participate by cursing themselves through disobedience. Please understand. That's the only way that the enemy can defeat the believer is to get the believer to participate with his agenda. Good God Almighty. And in effect, that's exactly what Balak sought to get Balaam to do against other people who knew God as his people. Matter of fact, in verse 18, the scripture says this, of this 22nd chapter, it says, "And Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not do anything, either small or great." Yeah, let me say that again. "I could not do anything, either small or great, contrary to the command of the Lord my God." He said that the Lord was his God. And even if Balak propositioned him as the prophet, as a person of God, as a son of God, even if he offered him his whole house full of silver and gold, he told him he could not do anything, neither small or great, unless the Lord caused it to be so. What he was letting him know is that he did not have any power within himself to bless or curse, that the power came from God and from God alone. Please hear me today. That the power came from God and God alone. Yeah, Balak wanted to make him feel good when he told him in verse 6 that the one who you bless is blessed, and the one who you curse is cursed. What Balaam was letting him know, listen, that privilege is reserved for God and for God alone. He's the only one who has the power that who he blesses, they're blessed, and who he curses, they're cursed, and nobody can undo, good God Almighty, what the Lord has done. Oh, bless the Lord today. And the people of Israel, being the people of God, please hear me today, were indeed blessed of God. Amen. Not because of what they had done. Oh, somebody better hear me today. not because of what any good that they did, But because there was a promise that God had issued and a covenant that God had in place. And as a result of that promise and that covenant that God had for that people, not because of the people, but because of the person, good God Almighty, who the people were connected to. Somebody better hear me today. Somebody's going to make me pray in here. Somebody's going to make me pray. I'm trying to preach. Y'all help me now. See, it was because of their father Abraham, who lived 400, over 400 years before this people came out of Egypt. It was because of their great, 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 well, y'all better hear me today, who knew God and who reverenced God, who had a fear for God, who served God. Oh, bless the name of God today. Oh, if I had some time. Fathers and mothers, look at here. God's favor will be on your children. You just be faithful to God. Grandfathers and grandmothers, God's favor will be on your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your great-great. You just keep on being faithful to God. You just keep on seeking God. You just keep on serving God. And the promises that God gives to you, the covenant that God has with you, will pour out on God, those who are connected to you, will pour out. Wasn't because of anything that they did. It was because God had a covenant relationship with Abraham. And because he had made promises to Abraham concerning this, concerning his generations. Good God Almighty. Somebody gonna make me preach and pray in here. See, because truth be told, he was some bad folk. Oh, I just have to tell the truth. And shame the devil. Amen. These folk who came out of Israel, who was Abraham's seed, these were some cutting up folk. The more God tried to bless them, the more they tried to curse themselves. From the time he brought them out, Moses went up to the mountain, and what did they do? They created gods for themselves, two golden calves, and started worshiping the gold that they just took out of their ears and off their wrist, saying that the gods of gold brought them out of the land, not the true and living God. How are they going to ascribe God's glory to something that they just took out of their ear and off their wrist?
Come on now.
These were some cutting up folks. These were some bad folks. Huh? These were the same folks who just a chapter earlier, the Lord had to deal with them and send serpents into the camp because they began to curse God. They said, they cursed the name of God. They said that God brought them out there, God and Moses brought them out there to kill them. God brought them out to bless them. He had just got through defeating an army. And before the sun could go down, they were already complaining and murmuring, saying that God had brought them out there to kill them. Well, if that was the case, why did you just invoke him to help you defeat an enemy? And God defeated that enemy. Oh, y'all better walk with me now. See, I don't know if you know anybody like that. No matter how much good you do for them, they try to do you bad. They're just some bad acting folk out there. They're just some cutting up folk. That's the way these folk were with God. God's doing working all of his power, huh, to deliver them safely into the promised land. And all they keep accusing God of is being evil while he's continually being good. Wow. So yeah, God was not preventing them from being cursed because of them, But God was preventing them from being cursed because he had a covenant relationship with Abraham. Good God Almighty.
Thank you.
And because of a promise unto Abraham. So parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, don't you stop trusting God. Now, listen to me today. I said, don't you stop trusting God to save and set free, to deliver and grant victory to your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your generation. Don't you stop trusting God. Now, notice the difference in what I said. I didn't say keep on praying. See, to keep on asking God for what you've already asked him for is to reflect a deficiency and a lack and a faith of confidence that he heard you the first time. And that not only that he heard you, but that if he did hear you and he did tell you he was going to do it, it would reflect a lack of trust and confidence that he's going to carry out his promise. So we don't need to keep asking God for the same thing. We just need to keep on thanking him for what he's already done, for what he's already promised us, for the covenant relationship that we have with him. Just keep on thanking him. Just keep on praising him. People are not going to understand it. Don't expect to be understood when you're in your car and you're praising him all by yourself. When you're in your room and you're praising him all by yourself. When you're in your home and you're praising him all by yourself. Don't expect to be understood. See, because folk don't understand that you're not waiting for the victory to shout. You shouting because of the victory. Oh, bless the name of God today. Yeah, see, you don't need to see it in the natural. God has already given it to you in the spiritual. And the person who receives and believes the word of God is living a shouting it life right now. Yeah, they're going to shout and praise him right now. Yeah, shout and praise him right now. Oh, bless the name of God today.
Yes, Lord.
Yeah. And because of that covenant relationship that God had with Abraham, because of that the promise that God had extended to Abraham, he allowed Balaam, walk with me today, to see something that he normally would not have seen. To be able to see into the spirit realm. Seeing in the spirit realm is always connected to a covenant or a promise. A covenant and or a promise with God. Oh, bless the name of God today. It's born out of a relationship with God. That's what spiritual sight is all about. It's about a relationship with God that is birthed through his word. Oh, bless God today. So that's why he wanted the Lord privileged Balaam to see him, to see the angel of the Lord. The angel that represents the presence of God, to be able to see that angel standing there with his sword drawn, ready to kill him, so that the fear of God may be in this man and that he may do as God would have him to do, and to speak what God would have him to speak, because he knew that God himself would come out against him if he did not. Y'all better hear me today. If I had some time, I'd tell you, the more Christians need more fear.
Amen,
amen today. Amen. I said more Christians need more fear toward God. Yeah. So you got a lot of folk always going out there talking about, well, I know God loves me. And oh, that's wonderful. God does love you. God loves the world. He said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Sure, God loves you. And all the more so those who are God's children. He has an everlasting love for those who know him in the pardon of their sins. Sure, God loves us. But it's important to have not only an understanding of God's love, but a fear of the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, fear of the Lord. The 34th Psalm says that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear the Lord. Amen. The 16th chapter of Proverbs says and reveals that as a result of the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. Amen. Because of the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. Because of Balaam's fear of God, he departed from the evil. Amen. Even the fault, even the desire, and sure was not going to carry out the act of trying to curse what God had blessed. Because God told him, you better shut your mouth until I put something in it. Oh, y'all better hear me today. Huh? God told him, you will only speak what I put in your mouth. And if I don't put it in your mouth, you better not say it. Good God Almighty. Concerning the people of God. Oh, bless God today. Let's pivot for just a moment. In the sixth verse of this 22nd chapter, the scripture says here that Balak was requesting that Balaam come out and curse his people so he could defeat them. Oh, my God. Lord, thank you for loving your people. Let me tell you how I know God loves his people, because I'm up here teaching and preaching his word. I said, Psalm 107 and verse 20 says that God sent his word to heal his people and to deliver them from their destructions. See, God wouldn't have his written word, nor would I be standing here giving a rhema word. Amen, somebody. Huh? If God did not love his people, because God wants his people to be healed and delivered. He wants them to be whole and saved. Amen. So he says here, come curse this people, huh? So that I can defeat them. Somebody needs to hear that. I'm gonna pause there for a minute before we pivot. I said I'm gonna pause before we pivot. We're gonna pivot from verse 6, but I'm gonna pause before we pivot. See, if the average Christian knew and understood, see, that once again, that the only way that Satan can defeat them is to get them away from the blessing and into the curse. He said, come and curse them so that I could defeat them. See, the enemy got enough sense to know that he cannot defeat, what's blessed of the Lord. When God is with his people, the enemy knows that the only result that they can come up with is defeat for themselves. But he knows that if the believer starts walking in disobedience to God, now they've entered the realm of the curse. Oh, Lord have mercy. And when a person enters the realm of the curse, now the enemy can defeat them because they've entered the curse through disobedience to God. See, the Word of God reveals to us that sin separates us from God. Amen. See, sin separates us from God. It takes a person out from under the covering of God, out from under the protection of God. God says that if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. See, we draw near through honor and obedience to God. And the enemy knows that the only way that he can get a child of God, the only way he can introduce defeat in the child of God's life is to get that person to disobey God and therefore enter the realm of curse, because it's the only place that they can be defeated. Can I stop long enough to tell you? Be careful to obey God in all that you do. We say, Apostle, I understand that all have sinned and come short of God's glory. Sure, we've all sinned. But that's why knowing what we know, if we sin or when we sin, we need to be on our fastest horse to repent. First of all, we need to be careful not to. And if somebody says something they shouldn't have said or do something they shouldn't, they need to hurry up and plead the blood and ask God's forgiveness so that the sins can be remitted, so that they can get away from cursed ground and remain on blessed ground. Cursed ground, defeat guaranteed. Blessed ground, victory guaranteed over every work of the enemy. Over every work of the enemy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Woo! All right, Holy Spirit, I'm listening. When I think about a marriage, when I think about a family, I've seen so many happy marriages. I've seen blessed families. And you know, the enemy can't stand that. See, you got, matter of fact, you got some people, their whole inclination is if they see a man who's got a godly, good-looking wife, they're not going to rest until they can try to do something to bring shame or curse into that marriage. Out of all the women on the planet, he ain't going to stop trying to. Out of all of the men on the planet, a woman that got that spirit of the enemy, her whole goal is to try to get to that man, to divide that marriage, to destroy that marriage. Whether it's through a covetous spirit, whether it's through a spirit of lust or greed or just a satanic spirit of destruction. You got some men, the only women they fool with is married women. Do you hear me? You got some women out there, the only men they want is married men. Because of a low self-esteem that they have, that somehow getting this man to abandon his wife somehow gives them some kind of false stature. That's Satan at work in their lives. And the whole objective, is to take the folk that's on blessed ground and get them to cursed ground, because that's the place where Satan can deliver the blow of defeat. And I've seen marriages destroyed. I've seen families just divided and torn up because the enemy lured somebody into disobedience to God and got them on cursed ground and handed them a certificate of defeat. Good God Almighty. Obey God in all that you do. Be careful and don't go around. Lord, I'm trying to move on. Don't go around with this philosophy. Well, it don't matter if I sin, God's gonna forgive me. Dummy, listen to me. There are consequences for sin. Adam and Eve got forgiven, but they still had to leave the garden. Dummy, listen to me. David got forgiven for the sin of numbering God's people in the census, but he still had to suffer the consequences. David got forgiven for his sin with Bathsheba, but his house still had a sword in it. I'm going to say again, don't play with sin. Huh? Don't think that it's okay to sin because a person can ask for forgiveness. The Bible says that that's using the blood of Christ or the cross of Christ as an occasion to one's flesh. In other words, a good that Jesus hung on the cross, that gives them a some kind of license to go ahead and sin. No, see, that's not what God intended on Calvary's cross. See, God didn't give his only begotten son to hang, bleed, and die on Calvary's cross so that we could sin, so that we could live in sin. Christ hung, bled, and died so that we could live in righteousness and holiness and in truth. So that we could know the love of God and have a relationship with God and be in right standing with God, not so we could sin. Okay. I said we were going to pivot. Numbers 22, verse 6. He said, please come and curse this people. Come and curse this people, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I may be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. Let me tell you how scared this man was. He knew that even in a cursed state, he might not defeat them. he was so scared of the people of God, he wasn't even sure he could defeat them in a cursed state. He didn't know he couldn't defeat them in a blessed state. Okay? So he asked Balaam to come out and curse the people of God. Let's pivot to why this was not an acceptable proposition, why this was not something that could be done. Okay, let's go, if you will, hold your place in Numbers 22, and let's go to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Let's go to Genesis, the 12th chapter. We said that as long as there is a covenant and or a promise and or covenant, that is going to be the reason why God will call someone to see, and in their seeing will preserve his promise and his covenant with his people. Amen. Let's look at starting at verse 1 of chapter 12 in Genesis. The scripture says, now the Lord said to Abram, who of course later became Abraham in the 17th chapter of Genesis, because God gave him that name, or rather in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, forgive me, I think it was, no, the 17th, I think it, okay, yeah, the 17th chapter. He says here in verse 1, he says, now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Did you hear that? God blessed this man, promised him the blessing, and told him that he would bless those who bless him and curse those who curse him. So this man had the blessing of the Lord upon his life because of the promise of the Lord. Oh, if I had some time to preach. Let me put a pin here. See, a lot of folk want a covenant relationship with God. I'm just a teacher now, Pastor John. See, a lot of folk want a covenant relationship with God. See, a lot of folk want God to promise them something just like he promised Abraham. They want the promises of God in their life. But see, Abraham had to suffer some things in order to get this kind of relationship with God. He had to make some sacrifices in the flesh in order to get this kind of relationship with God, to where God was making him promises, amen, and to where God desired to enter into a covenant relationship with Abraham. See, Abraham had to leave his comfort zone. See, he walked away from his family, from his father's house. Now, you need a little bit more insight. His father, Terah, had just died. He was the oldest in line to take over for his father. But at the time that his father died, God called him away from his people, and this man had to leave his obligation of standing in the gap and leading his family because God had a greater plan for his life. See, I've seen some folk that wouldn't do what Abraham did. See, they're too busy trying to make everybody else happy, and they're willing to displease God in order to please family. But the reason why Abraham had the kind of close and intimate relationship with God that he did is because Abraham was willing to sacrifice everybody and everything else in order to have a right standing and relationship with God that was pleasing unto the Lord. And that's where we need to get ourselves today as believers, as Christians, as it relates to our intimacy and our commitment and our resolve to honor God as God. The Bible says that we've got to seek ye first, according to Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. See, the only way to get to the point to do what Abraham did, you got to have what Abraham had, and that is a trust relationship with God. See, a lot of folk talk a good game. Oh, yeah, I ain't nobody in front of God. But the minute something comes up, boom, there they are, right back to people. And left God. See, we've got to have God first. We've got to be willing to sacrifice the things in the flesh in order to abound in the blessing of the Spirit that belongs to God. Amen, anybody? Okay. So Abraham made that sacrifice, and God made him a promise. Oh, if I had some time, I ain't got time to teach this, y'all. See, Abraham gave up three things and got eight things in return. He gave up his country, according to verse 1, his relatives, and his father's house. Some people say that's too much to give up. But look at what God gave him in return. God made him a great nation in verse 2. He blessed him. He made his name great. Amen, somebody. He caused him to be a blessing. And in verse 3, he put what he called a boomerang effect on his life, what we call a kind of boomerang anointed. God said that I'm going to bless those who bless you. He gave him a boomerang anointing. And he said, I'm going to curse those who curse you. And then not only did God do that, but in the eighth thing that God did was he caused him to be a blessing, that through him all the families of the earth would be blessed. Three things Abraham sacrificed. Eight things he got in return. Good God Almighty. God always gives more than he takes. Amen, somebody. Yeah, God always gives more than he takes. So there was a promise in place. Let's look at verse 17. There was also, or rather chapter 17, there was a covenant in place. Praises be to God. Yeah, there was a covenant in place. not only a promise, but a covenant. Let's start at verse 7 for expediency. The scripture says in Genesis 17 and 7, it says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you." Wow. There was a covenant in place. Now watch this now. "And I will give you..." Yeah, "and I will give you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all of the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God said further to Abraham, 'Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you." Verse 12. "And every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. A servant who is born in the house or who is bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants." Okay? Let me read verse 12 again. It says, "And every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. A servant who is born in the house or who is bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants, a servant who is born in your house or who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. Thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant." So God say whether they were through natural birth or whether they bought with money, God say anybody in your house, all the males need to be circumcised, because that's going to reflect the covenant that I have with you. Let's praise God. Let's take time to examine what God required of Abraham. If we look at verse 11, where the Lord talks about being circumcised in flesh, the word circumcised here is the word namal, N-A-M-A-L, and it means to cut down or to cut off. So the male, being the head, representing leadership in the house and home, let me say that again. Let me put a pin where I'm going. See, God required this of every male because God has put the male in leadership in the home. This new movement, and a lot of these movements going on in our society today, wants to relegate the male to obscurity. And will not recognize the male headship that God has put in place since the beginning in the book of Genesis. Thus ushering in not only their family, but in society, disorder. And with disorder comes dysfunction. And with dysfunction ultimately comes destruction. So as believers, as Christians, we need to make sure that our house is in order and that we honor male leadership. The husband is indeed the head of the house. He's the head of the wife, according to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. He is the head of the house because he's the head of the wife and the head of the children that come forth from that marriage. And by the way, that's the only thing that should be in the house in the first place. A husband and wife who are married to each other, who produce children. Amen, somebody. We need to learn to do it God's way and not Satan's way. But he says here, pull a pin here where so we can keep going here. He says, you shall, in verse 11, be circumcised in the flesh. To be cut off in the flesh. Look at where God is cutting them off at. See, circumcision is a reflection of being cut off in the flesh. What does the New Testament tell us to do? We've got to die to the flesh in order to live to Christ. The Old Testament circumcision was circumcision of the flesh, and that this signified Abraham's sacrifice and commitment to God, that the flesh was being cut off, because the things of the Spirit now, that is his relationship with God, had taken front and center. Oh, bless God today. Yeah, was front and center. And so it is with us as believers, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Through our baptism into Christ, we have died to the flesh and we live unto God. That is the circumcision of the New Testament church. Oh, bless God today. Yeah. The fact that we have left our flesh and entered into Christ. Yeah, so he was circumcised in the flesh, and all that was a part of his household was circumcised in the flesh, and that was a covenant sign of someone who had resolved within their lives to live for God and not for themselves. That's why God blessed him. That's why God had a covenant with him. That's why God's promises was at work in his life. And that's why God would not allow the enemy to curse him, because he had blessed him. Because he had blessed him. Because there was a covenant relationship in place. Oh, bless our God today. Yeah. And a promise to go along with it. Yeah, a promise to go along with it. So yes, seeing is a matter of life and death, but the only way that spiritual sight is going to be facilitated is born out of a covenant relationship with God and those who are living according to the promises of God. Amen. And our prayer today, is that whether the prophet be propositioned or the people of God be propositioned, that we, out of our love and reverence for God, praise God, would only do what God would have us to do, because we only think and speak what he would have us to think and speak. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen and hallelujah.